That is a high altitude rooster this morning. We're broadcasting Rosie on the House this morning from beautiful Heber Overgaard area, specifically the courtyard of the Bison Ranch. We're here today to celebrate the, I don't know, do we call it the second annual? Do we call it the 17th annual? What are we calling this?
Nobody
one?
Nobody really knows.
This is the second year we've had, second consecutive year we've had it at Bison Ranch. It is the Arizona Crawfish Festival. Crawfish get served at noon today. We've got we think we're catching somewhere close to 750, 800 pounds from the lakes here in Arizona. We're flying in another how many pounds from Louisiana?
1,500 from everyone that had bought tickets ahead of time. You can't serve wild game.
Okay.
But we Arizona Game and Fish wants the crawfish out of the lakes.
Yeah.
So we've trapped up to about 740 pounds so far.
Hot dog.
There's 70 more traps out this morning. We've got some guys going to pick them up, including our event sponsor, Sanderson Ford, Tom Cars, Matt and Andrew. They left this morning. They've got
I saw Andrew pulling out with the boat pretty early this morning.
So they're going to pick up the rest of the traps. If they have as good of catch as we've had the last few days, they'll bring in about another 300 pounds today. So we've got 1,000 pounds of locally trapped crawfish that anyone that attends the festival will have the option to sample. Well, there's a lot of couillon that they want their crawfish. So they ordered ahead of time to guarantee 3 pounds. And that, because they've purchased it, has to come from a farm. So we flew that into Louisiana. And, of course, they can still try the Arizona crawfish. That's just lanyard. We're just giving that away.
Okay.
But they've got their 3 pounds from Louisiana and the crawfish, and we're going to serve up about 2,500 pounds of crawfish
starting at noon today at the courtyard of the Bison Ranch. So all of that to say, you're tuned in to Rosie on the House. We're here. We're going to have fun talking about the event for the next 3 hours. But we're here with John J. Harper, who's driven up from the Valley to talk to you and your questions about landscape and gardening. Now would be a great time to get on board. We always have the people wait for the introductory segment, and then they all want to jump on the line at the same time. This is a great time to be an early bird and get in now at 1-888-767-4348. Thank you for tuning in, John Jay. Thank you for taking the drive up.
Oh, it was a difficult task.
I know.
To come up here and sit in 67 degrees.
You look for the excuse
weather.
To do it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I hear that loud and clear.
Yeah, it was tough duty.
We were just talking about the garden Jennifer and I left down in the valley.
Right. Not much of it left.
No, not much of it left. Yeah. Not much of it left at all.
You know, it's that transition time, you know, and most folks that had a spring garden, the harvest is probably done. There's a few hardy things like okra, eggplant, maybe some melons. But generally, even if your tomatoes and peppers look pretty good and you're shading them and doing all of that, you're watering a lot and you're not going to get any fruit for some time. So you can keep some things alive. But generally, this is the time of year you probably want to start making room for those fall vegetables, which, believe it or not, some of them can be started from seed right now.
Name a few.
Pumpkins.
Okay.
Corn. Squash. Beans. Melons. Cucumbers. All of those can be started from seed along about the first part of August. As we get into August later, there'll be more things. And then as we get into September, then we really start rolling with peas and all of the coal crops like cauliflower and cabbage and broccoli and Brussels sprouts.
So nurseries will have all those seeds on the rack right now, ready to go.
Probably starting to, those seed racks are starting to get changed over.
Okay.
In the next couple of weeks. Plants will be a while, but and I'd really hesitate to tell people to go out and buy, you know, even if they see them yet, because that soil, if you haven't prepared the soil, it's just, you know, it's putting a plant that's grown in this perfect environment, perfect soil, perfect temperature, and you're going to throw it in that ground that's, you know, a week ago is 116 degrees.
Yeah, man.
And it could get that again yet. So we really want to start probably looking at the garden. You've got burn-up tomato plants. You know, I've got some old chard and some old winter. You know, it just needs to start coming out. Get the weeds out. Start working some good compost.
Now, are we like in a confessional right now? I mean,
sure.
Am I gonna have to tell you all the plants in our garden that look bad right now? Or are we just gonna leave it at tomato?
In general, in general, most of the things that were planted for spring, for summer harvest, are probably looking a little rough, unless you are a diehard and you've put up shade structures and all that kind of stuff. So in most people's case, if you're still watering that, you're just wasting water.
The thing that looked best in our garden right now is the compost pile. The compost pile. We got a good-looking compost pile.
Well, and that's a great way to create a little more compost, to start pulling these old plants and get them on the compost pile and start turning the compost pile. Take the compost that's done, that's finished, and start working it into the garden with some gypsum and some all-purpose organic-type fertilizers and get that garden. You know, if you do it over a couple, 3 weeks, it isn't such a daunting task.
It seems to me like compost is kind of like sourdough starter.
Well, it's a good analogy.
You know, you have to keep a little of your compost. Don't use it all up. It seems like to me. I don't know.
It's a great way to start your compost is to have some compost that's done. That's a great analogy. Like sourdough, you got the little thing in the refrigerator.
Yeah.
And if you go to make it and you forget to take that out first, yeah, then you've lost your starter. But no, that's a great way to actually start compost. And if you don't have any, go to the nursery and buy a couple of bags of compost or manure or something and mix it in with your green starting compost. It will help get it started quicker. And that's the other mistake a lot of people make with their compost is you need to have a pile that's ready and a pile that's still
cooking.
So once you get it done, pull most of that out, leave a little of the good stuff, the done stuff, and then start again. And then you start taking that good stuff and right now start getting it in the garden. I tell you, the one we're really falling in love with is the product that Hickman's makes. Out of the chicken manure. You talk about a great compost.
You can't make chicken salad out of it.
No. No, but you can make good compost. That'd be a great marketing slogan for them. You can't make chicken salad out of that. I hope they're listening right now because you just gave them $1 million tagline. But it is a great compost, and it's a great starter for your own compost pile. So composting, getting the weeds out. You know, you mentioned last week about putting clear plastic. Now, once you've got everything out, cook it for a couple of weeks. Get that seed killed and pathogens killed and things, you know, in that ground. We call it solarizing, where you actually use the heat of the sun with the plastic to, you know, to actually kind of kill some of the weed seeds and that sort of thing. Yes, sir.
I was waving.
Stan,
our director of homeowners relations, is walking around looking for us.
So good. I want to talk to him about how he keeps his strawberries alive all summer long. So
that being said, you know, kind of start looking and getting it ready. The other thing
that's a very chemical-free way to pre-emerge your garden.
That's
essentially
exactly
what you're doing, right?
Yeah. Exactly what you're doing is pre-emerging the garden and getting it.
Cooking the seeds into oblivion.
Do that before you start adding your new compost, though. You want to then once you've done that, then go back in and start tilling the new compost in and doing that. That'd be my recommendation.
Got it.
Because you don't want to kill the beneficial microorganisms that are in that good compost.
Absolutely.
By cooking them to death. And then, you know, you should be ready by the middle of August to get rocking and rolling with stuff that's ready to plant.
Well, that's going to be here pretty soon.
You know, that's 2 weeks.
Man.
Yeah. And like I say, we know when it's hot and nasty out and you don't feel like just killing yourself in the garden all weekend, take an hour or two every weekend for a couple of weekends and boom, you're ready to go. Or take a section of it. And you're ready to go. So that's ready to start going. The other thing, you know, we want to talk about in the newsletter, we talked about in a little bit last week about evaluating, you know, your landscape. You know, that we've had, pretty typical summer. But as every typical summer, you get plants that just don't quite hold up the way you want it to hold up. Maybe you got damage from a windstorm. I know there's a lot of folks that about along Tatum Boulevard at about Greenway and Thunderbird that might need suggestions for new shade trees. And a lot of those
things. And masonry walls.
And a lot of those things, the reason those trees did what they did is they took a mesquite tree that gets 30 or 40 feet across and they put it in a strip of landscape that's about 4 feet across. And, you know, it didn't have the root base to support the top and the top, you know. So there's a lot of things about right plant in the right place at the right time that, you know, when we get a catastrophic wind or something, those weaknesses or deficiencies really show up in a devastating way.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Let's start with line one. Good morning. Welcome to the program. How may we help you this beautiful Arizona Saturday morning?
Good morning, guys. I guess I need you guys to be detectives this morning for me when it comes to my yard. I have had 5 Chinese elm trees planted about 2 years ago, and one at a time, all 5 of them have, within a week's period of time, not in the same week, but over that period of 2 years, they've gone from completely healthy and green to brown and dead. And at first I thought, maybe it's a watering issue, but I had my, you know, checked my water cycle. I'm deep watering them properly, and so it's not that. And now I've replaced a couple of them, and they've done the exact same thing. So I'm thinking, okay, it's not a fungus or something that's killing this tree. It's something else. About 2 weeks ago, we noticed that our aluminum pool fence is rotting at the base. And that's what started getting me thinking that there's something going on in our soil. And so I'm just wondering, we're out in Gilbert in the Power Ranch area. I'm wondering if there's, you know, if there's anything you guys can think of.
And this death, the plant dies pretty quickly. There's not drawn out. It goes from green to dead.
In a week.
Yeah. I would guess you have root rot. That's exactly how root rot kills a plant. It's just almost overnight. Long story short, it's caused by heavy clay, alkaline soils that quit draining, and you just get below surface, it stays too wet, and the pathogen just kills the plant basically by oxygen starvation, and you get root rot. So you need to probably do some re-excavation and maybe think about trees that are a little less susceptible.
Sounds like he's got Rosie's brown thumb is what it sounds like. We'll be back right after this.